From the newsrooms of the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age, this is Please Explain. I'm Tori Maguire and it is Tuesday, April 21. For the duration of the COVID-19 crisis, Please Explain is coming to you 5 days a week. As of this afternoon, Australia has recorded 6,641 cases of coronavirus and 71 people have died. But yesterday, nationwide, we reported just 18 new cases. I'm joined now by Legal Affairs reporter Michaela Whitbourne. Welcome to Please Explain, Michaela.
Pleasure, Tori.
I wanted to talk to you about restrictions on our lives under the COVID-19 crisis. All of our politicians, from the Prime Minister down and our chief medical officers, are constantly congratulating us. And so on the one hand, it feels like we're all being patted on the back. And yet at the same time, there are still some quite strict legal restrictions on our movements and what we can do. What's the current situation? I know you can only talk to New South Wales. In New South Wales, where are we with the police interacting with the public on social distancing restrictions?
Okay, so a couple of weeks ago, the Health Minister, Brad Hazzard, introduced a ministerial direction under the Public Health Act, which actually gave police the power to impose fines on people who were not adhering to these new social distancing restrictions, which are things like you need to have a reasonable excuse to be outside your home. And a reasonable excuse could be things like food shopping or going to the doctor or things like that. So police have been imposing fines of about $1,000 on lots of people under these new laws, which are set to expire in about 90 days, I believe, but we'll see if they're extended. And they have been using them. So we get daily updates on the fines that have been imposed on people. In some cases, they don't just impose a fine. They might actually charge someone and they're going to have to appear in court. And then a court will decide on the appropriate penalty, which can include jail time. So those provisions are being used. To my mind, they seem to be being used mostly in cases where a person has also committed another offence. So it's not just someone who's outside their house and can't really tell police what they're doing, although that does apply in some cases. There are a few cases that I've seen where a drug dealer has also been hit with a fine for not socially distancing or not being out of their home with a reasonable excuse. And there's been a few cases like that interstate as well. So I think police are using these new powers in quite creative ways.
Have there been examples of people who've been pulled up who any normal person like us would go, oh, we didn't realise that that was not allowed?
There have been some cases where I think it sounds a little bit unfair and I just wonder if the context hasn't really been provided. For example, there was one case in Sydney where a man seemed to have been just sitting on the street around George Street. And I don't know if he was someone who had been doing that habitually and the police just wanted to move him on. But he was fined under these new laws. And it just seemed to me that he wasn't posing that much of a public health hazard just from being outside by himself. But certainly he probably didn't provide a reasonable excuse for being there and sitting down. So it's hard to say whether or not the police were being sort of heavy-handed in that case or if the fine would be overturned if it was appealed. But I don't think someone in that situation would be likely to challenge it in court either.
What are the lawyers that you talk to saying about whether or not people are likely to have a sort of big rush on challenging these things once they can get caught?
I think that lawyers are interested in those legal challenges being mounted, but I don't know if there is going to be a rush of people filing those kind of disputes in the courts. Obviously, there are a lot of restrictions on the ability to appear in court at the moment because of coronavirus. And sometimes it is just easier to cop a fine on the chin than challenge it. Of course, some people do challenge speeding fines and things of that nature, even without a lawyer. So some people might be aggrieved and take this to court. But I think a lot of people just won't bother.
$1,000 is a lot of money though. It's a lot more than a speeding ticket.
It is a lot, yeah.
What about the perception of the police, Michaela? While there may not have been a lot of examples of people being, you know, given fines for things that seemed reasonable, there is certainly a heavy police presence around about in Sydney. I've certainly seen lots of police. In fact, on Good Friday, I was out and about in the CBD for legitimate essential exercise reasons. And the only other people I saw were the New South Wales Riot Squad. which was certainly caught my attention.
Yes, so I think there is a quite a very noticeable police presence, and I think people might be being moved on or warned in circumstances where a fine isn't imposed, and maybe in cases where a fine couldn't be imposed. So I think anecdotally we're seeing evidence of a lot or quite a few people being told, you know, that they shouldn't be sitting down in a park or on the beach and they should be exercising and then moving on. And it's true you can't sunbake on the beach, but I'm not sure that the laws really do give the police the power to move you on if you're just sitting down on a bench in the park, certainly not if you're by yourself or, you know, appropriately distanced from another person or sitting with someone in your household or family. But I suppose some of those issues haven't really been worked out because the restrictions and the laws were passed with such haste and they obviously haven't been tested in court.
So in many ways, it's left at the discretion of the police to interpret the comments of the Premier and the Prime Minister.
That's absolutely the case. And without the courts to provide guidance on this, we won't know the extent or the limits of these laws, and maybe we never will. It really depends on which matters do go to court. And given that they're short-term measures, we don't really know how many of them will be challenged or whether or not they'll be done in a timeframe that's useful to us in terms of providing guidance.
So what is the New South Wales Police Commissioner saying about how these things should be handled?
He's saying that he's reviewing them all personally still. He also said that he wasn't seeking an extension of this 90-day period in which these restrictions would be used, which struck some lawyers as problematic because they didn't realise that he was the one who was seeking these powers, because the ministerial direction was, of course, made by the Health Minister, Brad Hazzard, and it wasn't clear on its face that these were powers that were being sought by police. So that troubled lawyers. So I guess, you know, I suppose it is reassuring that the police commissioner is looking at every fine to see if it's reasonable. I think some of them are a little bit interesting. I saw one of them the other day that seemed to be about a woman who was suspected of shoplifting, and she wasn't charged with a shoplifting offence at all, but was charged with being out of her home without a reasonable excuse, which sort of gives one pause for thought about whether or not these laws are being used in cases where another charge doesn't stick, I suppose.
And I would have thought shopping, if she wasn't shoplifting, but she was in a shop, is a pretty reasonable excuse.
Would have thought so.
Michaela, obviously you can't provide legal advice to the listeners of Please Explain It, nor can I, but what are lawyers saying about what you should do if the police come up to you when you're out on your legitimate outing from home?
Well, you don't necessarily have to speak to them, but you can just tell them why you are outside of the house. And if they do decide to impose a fine on you, then you can opt to challenge it in the local court. But I suppose that just depends on the inclination of resource and resources of the individual. So we haven't seen cases of people challenging those fines yet, but I imagine that's something that we will see in the future. I'd also like to see the format of these fines, actually, if any readers have been had one lobbed at them, just to see how it's worded and whether or not it's clear that you can challenge them in court.
If anyone does have that, they can send it to me and I'll pass it on to Michaela. What are we hearing about how much dobbing people are doing on their neighbours?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I don't think that we've seen that much of that anecdotally, although in some of the reports from police so far, it does seem that they're knocking on people's doors and responding to noise complaints or complaints about parties, which one would assume is coming from aggrieved neighbours or passers-by who can hear that there's a crowd inside and, you know, if I can't have a party, I don't know why they are, which is entirely legitimate. I mean, people shouldn't be gathering in huge crowds and potentially infecting everyone there and then infecting us potentially.
Mm. Do you think, Michaela, that as we have all become more used to social distancing and as this has started to become more normal, there will be a lesser need for police to kind of enforce this kind of thing? Or do you think people are going to become more complacent and therefore as soon as, you know, the sun shines this weekend, we're all going to be down at the park getting in each other's faces?
We are seeing that there is some evidence that complacency is creeping in. So we've obviously seen photos from Herald and Age photographers of quite crowded beaches in Sydney and Melbourne. At the same time, I think that people by and large are adhering to these social distancing restrictions and are taking the warnings of, you know, federal and state leaders seriously, or we wouldn't have seen this flattening of the curve. So I guess it's just a matter of making sure people are aware that we still have work to do. And I do think that message is getting through. So I would have thought that the police presence doesn't need to be as heavy-handed in the coming weeks, but I guess we just need to wait and see on that one.
Well, it is exciting that we are flattening the curve to the extent that we are, but I think as we have fewer and fewer cases, people are going to get more antsy about staying home, and it'll be interesting to see how the police deal with that. Michaela, we will check back in with you in a couple of weeks to see how it's gone.
Look forward to it.
Thanks for joining me.
Pleasure.
Today's episode of Please Explain was produced by David Escort and Amelia Maguire. The journalists, editors, photographers, producers and tech team at The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald are working tirelessly at the moment to cover the COVID-19 crisis factually, fairly and comprehensively. For coverage you can trust, visit our websites or buy our papers. To support our journalism, you can subscribe via our homepages or just search subscribe, The Sydney Morning Herald or The Age. I'm Tori Maguire. Thanks for listening.